in two different books. In Philippians first will be there. If I spit my teeth out on you, I'm sorry. I've got a bridge that the government has taken it out and they just handed it to me. And they said, well, December the 6th, we'll go in there and try to do something. I said, man, I got to go to Las Vegas and preach and sing. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I ain't putting that thing back in there, and maybe you might swallow it, and you know, or something. So I went and got me some denture fix, Fixident. So that's what's holding it in there right now. So if I get too excited, it liable come out. But in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. But I want to use that as my basis tonight for the message. And I want to start with verse 8 of the third chapter, verse 8. But the title of the message, I get it from verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the title of the message is there any pressers today? Is there any pressers today? I want you to think about this. We're going to talk about it. And Paul was a presser. That's what he said. He could have chose a lot of words, but he chose that one word, I press toward the mark. He could have said, I run toward the mark, or I walk toward the mark, or, you know, there's things, but Paul chose this word, and I want to just share with you some things about that. But I want to start in verse 8, where Paul gets up to this point. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. My Lord, he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul had lost everything he had, I think, at this point in his life. Didn't have nothing. He was probably like those homeless, Craig, that we feed down there on downtown. I don't even know. It used to be Bonanza, but I don't know what the name of that street is anymore. But that's what we call them down on Bonanza. But he was about like that. Old Paul didn't have much. Even when he went to prison, he didn't have much. He just wanted his coat to be brought to him. It's going to be a little cold and chilly, but he had the parchments. He had the message. He had the Word of God, my friend. And when we got the Word of God, there really shouldn't be anything else that really matters to us. You know, I appreciate Brother Ryan. He's got Jesus, and that's really the most important thing. And so that's our job as Christians, is to do some pressing. And, you know, this is where the Apostle Paul was. He said, but I count all things but loss, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and do count them but dung. I've heard some preachers try to, you know, kind of, crutch that up and make it sound a little better. I'm going to tell you exactly what it says, what it means in the Greek. Anybody have been around any cow dung and Amen. Horse dung and mule dung and stinking mess? You pile it up and my goodness, it'll rot and it stinks. The Apostle Paul said that's what he's talking about. When you see that word dung, it means manure. He said, this is really what I count all the things that I lost for the excellency of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, folks, he got to a point in his life where you and I want to be. He got to a point in his life where you and I, we put Him first. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He put Jesus first above all things. And the more we put Him first, the sweeter He gets. And the better things gets in our life. I mean, you learn that you can overcome things. You know, we visit a lot of churches, and I hear these prayer requests, and people are, they've got problems, and they, and you know, they're really down, and they got, you know, and it's really a burden to hear that, because they've got the same Jesus that I got. I've got problems, but listen, I don't drag them around with me. The Lord takes care of my problems. That's why I can wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord," instead of "Good Lord, it's morning." You know, because Jesus is the one that's buried. And that's what old Paul, he said, "Hey, I'm going to win." And what he was talking about, he wasn't talking about his salvation or nothing like that. He was talking about winning the favor of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that we ought to strive to enter in at the straight gate and to be a kind of Christian that when the Lord sees us, He'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. You've done a good job, and I'm proud of you. You faced some adversities down there, but you seen them through to the end, and you kept on keeping on." That's what serving the Lord is all about, my friend. You can't just serve the Lord when it's sweet to you. Sometimes it's tough to swallow some things that we got to go through as Christians. But who in the world? The Lord, we got to. That's where the Bible applies. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." I believe old Paul believed that verse. And I believe he believed what Christ said. He says, "I want you to carry my yoke." He says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He's not talking about His righteousness. He's talking about the Lord's righteousness. Listen, people can tell when we've got something special. They can see it in us. And I'm telling you, God's going to give you some people. When we get our heart right and we're really striving, we're pressing toward that mark, God's going to give us people in our lives. He's going to put folks in our lives that is going to be a blessing to us. And they're going to be somebody special to us. I want to talk a little bit about this press, this word press. I remembered something when I was preparing this message. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was on the ship, and they had presses on there, and I'd never been around presses. This pressed pants, and, you know, your trousers, they didn't call them pants in the Marine Corps. Maybe the Navy did, I don't know. Did they, John? They call them pants? Oh, but they had you pulled laundry duty. And the guys that pulled laundry duty, they were under a different criteria than everybody else on the ship. When they got all the laundry done, because it was so hot down in there, it was down in the belly of the ship now pressing, and that, you know, it's hot and steam, you know. I went down there and got to see them press a little bit. But when they got done pressing, they was on vacation. They went on leave. And they didn't have to answer to nobody but the man who was in charge of them. And he'd let them go. Sometimes we'd be parked in Spain, somewhere, Greece or Italy or wherever we was at port. And they just get to go out and roam around, the rest of us jarheads. And there's, some of them was Marines too. And the rest of us was on the ship working. But they were part of the pressing. Huh? You know where I'm going with this? They got special privileges. There were special things happen with them because they got to press the pants and the shirts and, you know, and they got to do all the work. The hot work. It was hard and hot. Wasn't no fun. I went down there one day and I said, "Oh my goodness, I don't like this." But when the work was over, they'd give them leave and they said, "Go. Come back 4 days from now." Well, that was worth it. You know what? The Lord's going to bless those that press. The Lord's going to bless them pressers. I'm telling you, Paul was a presser. And he blessed. He got blessed. The Apostle Paul, he said, "I press toward the mark." The great high calling. I don't care what I've lost. He said, it's nothing to me. He said, it don't mean nothing. I'm putting things up in heaven. I'm going to see my Savior one day, and that's who I'm going to talk to about it. I want to tell you about a man that he sits back here. He's kind of backslid a little bit. Brother Phil Ellis. I remember when we was first starting to try to do a work out in Vegas, and I went out on the job. I'd go about anywhere I could that somebody listened to the gospel. And I went out on the job, and they was doing him and Al, and I don't know how many of them was on that job, and they was pressing them blocks. They were pushing the line. They were making walls on these jobs that there wasn't nothing out there, but you couldn't see a house far as you could see. Wasn't nothing, but they was putting up walls. I pull up and I could tell it was John and Phil and Al. I think Al was working for the, he was the boss, and John and Phil was loaned out to him. They were using his equipment. And I go up there, and when I get up there, I look and old Phil, both of their mixers is broke down. They sitting over there broke down, so it shot the whole job shut down. And I look around, I'm thinking, where's everybody at? Well, I look over here, and John's trying to get something going for the mixer. Look over here at old Phil, and he's on his knees with an old laborer he'd crowd over there. And he's talking to him. I knew what he was talking about. I knew what he was talking about. I knew he was talking to that old boy about his soul. Never have seen old Phil without a track in his pocket. Everywhere he goes, he's always got something to tell somebody about Jesus. I saw him one day on a construction job, and you never know who's watching you. Of course, it ain't no big deal that I'm watching you, but what it is a big deal if he's watching you. And I get on the job, and I thought this was kind of odd. It was a man on the top of this about a 28-foot ladder. And he had it extended all the way out. He's on top of it doing something. I wasn't paying much attention to what the guy was doing as I was. Somebody was crawling up there on the ladder with him. I said, now that's a dummy right there. Two people on that ladder and it extended all the way out. Well, I get a little closer to where I can see who it was, and it was Phil Ellis. Climbing up that ladder to give that man a track and talk to him about Jesus. Can you believe that? Folks, I tell you what, we need pressers today. We need some folks that are pressing toward the mark of the great high calling of God. There's something better than this life. The farther I go, the more I know that this is temporary. And everything we got can be gone tomorrow. And we can be homeless. But what the Lord is looking for is some pressers. Some pressers. You know, I left here and I'd been here about 5 years, and I kind of felt the Lord leading me away from this, and my health I knew is going to get a little worse, and different things, and I just some spiritual things that the Lord let me know that, hey, you need to retire. But you know what? I haven't retired from pressing. Still pressing. Still trying to encourage. Still trying to share the gospel with people. Hey, there's folks back in Texas Lost as a goose too in a hailstorm, brother. I mean, you don't have to come to Vegas to find lost people. There's a grocery store back there, and what's the name of that grocery store? Brookshire's. Brookshire's. I don't know if you're from Texas, you're familiar with them. I don't know if they have them anywhere else, Texas and maybe a couple more states back there. But they still carry your groceries out for you. They quit doing that years ago. But Brookshire's, I mean, if you got one little bag, you got, I'll get it. No, sir, I'll get it for you. Well, the first thing popped in my head when a guy wanted to carry it out to me, for me, is, hey, this is a good opportunity to share the gospel with this man. So I went out with, he went out with me, and sure enough, God had made an appointment right there for me. I was able to share Jesus with that old boy, and he accepted him. He bowed his head and prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. I've done that in 5 different Brookshires. Hey, and they're all over the state of Texas. You've got a captive audience when this guy carries your groceries out. What does God have to do? Stick your nose down in it? There it is, Larry. You need to start pressing. And so I pressed this old boy to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I was getting some tires one day. This has been about a week ago. This other one was some lady, and this is an appointment that God makes. He makes these appointments for you. This lady was at Brookshire's, and she was a checker. She normally didn't carry groceries out. So she was carrying it out, and I heard this conversation. This other lady said, "What are you doing carrying groceries out? You're a checker." She said, "Well, I had about 5 minutes, thought I'd do this one person." Can you imagine that? Hey, come on. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. He gave me that person to come out. And I knew when she picked up them groceries that she's going to get saved. I knew it. I really did, folks. I knew that God made that appointment. Sure enough, I shared Jesus with her. She is a single mother out of wedlock and, you know, fighting a battle, had all kinds of problems. Didn't think that anybody would have anything to do with her. Couldn't believe that Jesus would save her soul. Led her in prayer and she accepted Christ as her Savior right there. Amen. Listen, they're everywhere. But we got to be a presser. We got to be a presser. And then pressers, you remember on that ship? Them pressers, one of these days, they're going to get to coast a little. Yeah! You press. You press and serve the Lord. I feel like I'm coasting right now. I'm on retirement. I mean, I can go get my grandkids anytime I want to. And you know, I've got just a great life. And you know, and it just amazes me what God has done in my life. But He still wants me pressing when I can press. See, you don't have to press no more than you. He won't put more on you can bear. But you got a pressing job here. So you got to build a church. When I left here, we didn't have this church built. It wasn't done. And it's still not done. You still owe money. You still need to be self-supporting. And so, you still got some pressing to do. But the only thing you can do, look what the Apostle Paul said there, I'm going to skip down a couple of verses. Let me read verse 10. It says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made comfortable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." My goodness, friends, one of these days, again, I say we're going to face the Lord. And He's going to reckon with us. You know, there's two places that folks are going to stand the great white throne judgment, and I know you know this if you've been a Baptist very long, and the judgment seat of Christ. Great white throne judgment is going to be for the lost people. But the judgment seat of Christ is going to be for those that saved. We're still going to have something to reckon with. The Lord's going to say, why wasn't you pressing? I gave you everything you needed, folks. We've got it all. We've got the Word and we've got the ability to do it. Oh, my goodness, I visit these churches and nobody's witnessing. Nobody's telling folks about Jesus. Nobody knows how to do it. They're just having church. And just going to church. And, you know, Paul talked about himself being a laborer, a slave. Hey, he didn't talk about this leisure stuff. And when I was pressing down in the bottom of that ship that one day, hey, there wasn't no leisure stuff. But the Apostle Paul now is in glory. And you know what he's saying? Go get him! You know, I got a little dog. I got me a little, my granddaughter calls it the West Virginia dog. It's from West Virginia. But she couldn't say that, so she said West Virginia. And he's a mix. And she makes sure when somebody asks her about it, he's a mix from West Virginia. But that little dog, I'm going to make a squirrel dog out of it. That's what I want to do with him, is make a squirrel dog. Sandy's wanting to make a lap dog out of it. She gets him on her lap every time she can. But it's going to take some work, and we're going to have to exercise things. He's not going to make a squirrel dog if he sits in the pen. If I don't do anything with him, listen, we'll never make a presser until we start pressing. We'll never be the kind of person God wants us to be until we get serious about God's Word. We've got to be serious. You've got a responsibility here to build this church. God has chosen you, everybody that's sitting here and some that ain't sitting here, to be part of this church. If you're a member of this church, you've got a responsibility to support this church and to pray for this church, man. Get up in the morning and talk to God about this church. Amen. Ask the Lord to give you some pressing to do. Yeah, Lord, I want to do some pressing and really get consumed by what God wants us to do. It's not something, Paul didn't talk about it like it was some kind of a hop-skipping day. You know, it's work. It's labor, and we're not going to always, it's going to be toiling sometimes, and it's not always going to, but look for somewhere to press. How in the world? Because look what the Apostle Paul finished there. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't live in the past. Don't matter what you done yesterday or last week or even today, it don't matter. You've got tomorrow if the Lord wakes you up again. That's another thing. You know, He might quit waking us up. Hey, if He don't sound reveille on you, it's all over but the roses. You're going to be leave this old world and you'll end up in heaven, I hope, if you've been born again. But you won't be down here pressing anymore. And believe me, He don't need no pressers up there. That's where everything's perfect. He needs pressers down here. He needs those people that will press and spend time. I'm talking about that gut-wrenching praying. That kind that just jerks a tear right out of you. When you just get there on the ground and sometimes you can't even say nothing. All you can do is just sit there and just weep for a while. Phew, boy. The Lord can get a hold of you. Amen. Folks, and He wants impressors. Look what He said in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What's He talking about? Minded like He's talking about. A presser. He said, I'm pressing toward the mark of the great high calling. He said, and let everybody else that's perfect, that means complete, born again. You can't press if you're lost. You ain't going to get nowhere. Saved people's one he's talking to here. He's talking to saved people. I press toward that mark of the great high calling of God. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto you this unto you. In other words, if we've been sloughing off and not serving the Lord, not really pushing, not really trying, not really just exhausting ourselves and serving the Lord to the best of our abilities, and even when it's not good, and you know, even if that's happened in our past, don't worry about that. God's going to let you know about it. Might even be letting you know right here in this message. You might think to yourself, hey, I've been slothful. I don't know if y'all see some of the stuff I put on my Facebook, but if I see a good thing, I post it on there. I saw this the other day. I had, you know, the Bible speaks about the ant and how diligent it is and how the ant, and I saw this and I put it over on my Facebook, and it was these ants, and they were pulling, I don't know, it looked like a crab leg out. I was getting hungry, kind of, that old ant. Man, I hadn't had no crab in a long time. But it was a humongous thing for all these little ants. You know, an ant don't have a leader. I don't know if you knew that. They ain't got no king. But these little boogers was hooked on to each other. And there was about 40 of them on this line. About, looked like the borax mules, you know. And about 40 on this line, and 40 on this line, and 40. And they was guys gathered all around that little leg, whatever that leg was, a crab leg, I think it was. And I mean, they were moving that joker on down the road. That thing was humongous. But they were getting it done. They were getting it done. Because they were all hooked together. You didn't see them fighting each other. You know, Baptists, man, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Like a military sometimes. You know, we kill our own people. But they're all pulling together. Had the same thing in mind. Who told them where to go to with that crab's what I'd like to know. That crab leg. They act like they knew where they was going. And I mean, there was hundreds of them, maybe even thousands, pulling on that one leg. And the ones that wasn't, I think they was cheering, man. They was just running back and forth. The ones that wasn't pulling, I could just hear them down there. Come on, man, get it. Get it. When you get tired, I'll get a hold. I can just hear them ants, you know. I mean, they was excited about what they was doing. You would have thought that was the only drop of food they had. You know what? That's the way we ought to serve the Lord. Just like that's all we got. Amen. That's what Paul said. That's what he was talking about here. He said, man, I pressed toward the mark. Hadn't got there yet. But I'm going to keep on pressing. Now, if the Apostle Paul hadn't made it, I ain't for sure I hadn't made it. So what did I got to do? I got to keep on pressing. I got to keep on pressing. I want to read... how much time have I got left, brother? Let me... Let's go over to Colossians. Had a few scriptures there I wanted to read. In verse 3, again, chapter 3, again, third chapter, first verse. Apostle Paul writing again, writing to Colossians. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, what does that mean? If you then be risen with Christ, you're born again. Christ rose from the dead, hey, death don't have no nothing over me. I'm going to pass from this life to heaven. Amen. Death, the sting is gone for me and you if you're born again. If you're saved and you know the Lord, you're in Christ. Hang on. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Man, what are we talking about? To seek those things. Look for those things which are above. You know, when you get your mind on Christ, you ain't got time to fight and argue. You ain't got time to bicker and complain and whine and cry. You know, when you got your mind on those things above, He said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above. Set your affection. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Set your affection on things above. Not on things on this earth. We get too worried and bogged down about the dung down here. I know we all got to make a living. We all got to work and we all got to survive. But I believe if we'll put Christ first, that all other things shall be added unto us. I believe that's what the Bible says. And I believe that part of the Bible, just like I do any other part, it's all under the same binding. So He said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. Look at that. When we're born again, my friend, listen, our mind's changed. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new creature. But we're kind of like the old Indian, you know, he got saved. I know I've told you this 100 times, but it's worthy of another time. And his old chief and this missionary led him to Christ. And he came back after a year and said, "Hi, chief, how's it going?" He said, like two dogs inside fighting. He said, "Well, which one's winning?" He said, "The one I feed the most." And so that's the way it is with our life. Wherever our affection is, wherever we... You can tell a person where their affection is by how they're serving the Lord. How they're pressing. How are we pressing? Examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. We don't need to look at over here at old Joe and ask and look at how he's pressing. I need to look at Larry Fry and see how I'm pressing. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And they don't get any better than that. You know, no matter what I do, no matter how many mistakes I make, no matter what, my life is still hid in Christ Jesus. There's nothing going to keep me out of the gates of heaven. I've done taken care of that long ago. It said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah! One of these days we're going to be with Him. Folks, you got an opportunity out here, like I'm telling you. You got the truth. Been all over Texas. They've got churches back there they call churches, and they're, man, I see some messes going on. I see some folks headed in the wrong direction. You need to be a presser. You need to get hooked up and be excited about what God's hooked up with and excited about. Listen, his whole life, Jesus, His life, was to come to this earth and die for sinners. He said that. He said, "I come to seek and to save that which is lost." He was asked. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." The Father sent Him. We ought to have tracts with us everywhere we go. Listen, I'm telling you, old Johnny Brewster, he's a good friend of mine. He told me one time, he said, "What are you going to do, send somebody to hell number two? You know, if you're going to make a mistake and send, you know, if you're worried about sending them to hell, they're already on the road to hell. He that believeth not is condemned already." See? You were lost and headed to hell before you got saved. I didn't have to goof up the plan of salvation and tell it to you wrong and send you there. You're already going. So if I make a mistake, I can't send you to hell number two. You're already going to hell anyhow, so hey, just be practice. God will straighten it out. Don't worry about that. You give that gospel to everybody you meet, and you press. And you try, and you think, you know, everywhere you're at, what can I do? And I know many of the folks that here went through, y'all know how to lead somebody to the Lord. The only way you do it is just the way you was done. You know, you just pass it on, whatever you. The Apostle Paul, he shared his testimony with many a people, with kings. Tell somebody what happened to you in your life. You can do it. You can do it. I'm going to challenge you tonight to come to the altar. Don't worry about what you did yesterday. Don't worry about what's happened in your past. Ain't nobody going to hold nothing against you. I mean, if they do, they're wrong. I mean, whatever the deal is, just get things right. Start pressing tonight. I want to be a presser. The Lord is looking for some pressers. Some folks that don't mind just pressing. Boy, I'm just thinking about old Paul. You know, some of the stuff that goes across my mind that he's doing, what he's thinking about when he's doing it, I'm pressing toward the mark. Man, I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to get one more soul, just one more. One more soul, Lord. Let me live just long enough to get one more. Then the Apostle Paul died in prison. But he died in a glorious attitude. Didn't have nothing. He had put all these stakes in heaven. Put all these investments in heaven. That's where we are today. Have you been pressing like you feel like you ought to? Have you been pressing? Do you feel like it's your pressing? I don't mean being perfect. I'm just meaning pressing. Just pushing toward things. And trying to get more closer to the Lord. The Lord said, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. You draw close to me. It's a two-way street, my friend. Lord ain't going to draw close to us if we're getting farther away from Him. He ain't going to happen. He says, draw close to me and I'll... When He knows we're pressing, He's going to be right there for us. And He's going to provide things for us. And He's going to take care of us. But He wants to hear them Christians, them good old, blood-bought Christians say, Lord, I'm going to press for you. Will you come tonight? Just come up here and pray. And we're going to have an invitation.